Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. Ladies and gentlemen, today you get two for the price of one. That's right, we're talking about Showtime's two biggest new pilots, White Famous and Smilf, so don't move a muscle.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. Okay. Okay, this was the opening song in Smilf.
Yeah, it was.
Which I thought really added some style.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, the clean version was way better than the dirty version.
I was gonna say, I actually just found the instrumental.
Dirty version is real.
Yeah.
I thought we was going to get the lyrics.
I know. No. I found the instrumental just because I thought if anyone's tuning in for the first time,
yeah,
and this is what they hear, they'll be like, what the hell show is this? I do love the Ying Yang Twins, though. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TV Pilot Reviews here on AfterBuzz TV. If this is your first time tuning in, not only do we jam out to some Ying Yang Twins, but we cover Hollywood's hottest new pilots. As I mentioned at the top, we're covering two Showtime pilots today called White Famous and Smilf that both aired within the last 2 or 3 weeks. Very excited to talk about them, but before we do that, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham, and I have some amazing co-panelists.
Hi guys, Linda Antwi here. I am excited about these two shows, talk about them.
Woo.
Find me everywhere online at Linda is so girly.
And I'm Sam Davidson. I'm so excited to
welcome
be back
welcome
with
back.
You guys.
Yes, welcome back. Full family.
Yes,
full family.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43. And I am also in the live chat if you guys want to talk about these shows.
Like, underrated beat. I'm just saying.
Oh,
like,
for
can
sure.
You not, I can't not stop moving.
I can't
moving
not move. I know.
Yo, you guys can hit me up on Twitter at DeAngeloTV or on Instagram at DeAngelo.
Okay, so I want to talk about White Famous first. Quickly, just both of these shows, as I mentioned, they aired on Showtime. White Famous aired 2 or 3 weeks ago, officially on October 15th, so I think about 3 episodes have aired by now. And actually, Smilf just aired this Sunday, so November 5th. And we're going to talk about both of them. I want to start by talking about White Famous, because it aired a little less recently. Let's go around your overall reactions and your pass or play. And actually, I want to add something to the show. We've been doing pass or play, but what gets confusing about that is I think sometimes there are good shows that we would still pass on. So I want to do, would you pass or play? Would you recommend to pass or play? So two. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
Cool. D'Angelo, you start.
Of course I start.
White
Famous actually is really difficult. I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah.
I see the vision of it, or I feel the vision of it. Delivery is in question, so play, because I feel like it could be really good, but it's still some question marks. So play on both sides for both questions.
Great.
Yeah, it's a confusing one because the show confused me. I didn't understand. I was thinking Curb Your Enthusiasm, or is this episodes? I don't know if you guys are familiar with those shows, but they're both essentially famous people that we know making a semi-realistic show about themselves.
Right.
You know, I know Jay Farrow, and I really like him because I do comedy and I love his stand-up. I loved him on SNL, but I don't think that he is at the fame level that shows like Episodes and Curb Your Enthusiasm that those two men were on to make a whole show about them. So I don't know if that makes any sense, and I'm not sure if that's what they're going for at all.
Real quickly, Sam, I assumed you were going to mention Jamie Foxx when you started talking about the celebrity playing themselves situation. But you're more talking about Jay Farrow's...
Yeah, I just want to know what it is because I didn't know much about it. And I was like, oh, whoa, Jay Farrow has a show on HBO. Showtime, sorry. How awesome. But I just want to know what the whole journey is going to be and then I can enjoy it. I'm going to say I am creating a new one, which I always do. It's like it's a play for two. Like, ask me again after I see the second episode.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you said that a lot.
I do. It's such a cop-out.
Fair enough. Linda.
I was entertained by it, but I was also confused by it. I was thinking, because, you know, it's created by, well, one of the creators is this Tom Campanos, mm-hmm. and he did Californication, right. and I really loved that show.
Me too.
And so I saw a lot of similarities, like the protagonist is, you know, this guy, and he hates women, and he loves women, and it his life, and so I thought it could be great, but the pilot didn't pull me in. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It didn't pull me in. It was a lot just, like, going on, and I wasn't completely convinced. So for me, I'm going to say it's a pass. Mm-hmm. But for the second part, I would recommend a play if you're...
A viewer.
A viewer. Mm.
Fair yeah. enough. I could tell... I'm with you, D'Angelo. There was things that were ambitious about this pilot that I really liked, and I was like, oh, cool, I haven't seen this on TV. But it was only like 10%. Mm. And the other 90% of this, I'm like, oh my God, I've seen this so much. Mm-hmm. This is Entourage. Yeah, this is... And it kind of bummed me out. There was a lot about this pilot that I found very disappointing, especially because it set the groundwork for some really interesting conversation. But I felt like all that conversation, the rug got pulled out from underneath it when, you know, you have a woman who's introduced ass first, yeah. first thing we see of her. Yeah. I just found this to be very frustrating. Mm. And I really wanted to like it, and I actually ended up watching another episode, to be totally honest. And
you're always cheating, man.
I know.
Cheater.
It happened today. I walked into the trailer to get some work done, and I turned on the TV, and it was on. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to watch it. And I'll talk about my experience with that other one, but right now I've got to be a pass. Mm. And just for specific choices that this show is making, I think I've got to also advise a pass, because I found it to be pretty frustrating, to be totally honest.
And can I just say, like, this guy on SNL, he is a master impressionist.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
one of the
why
best.
Are they not utilizing that?
Well, we saw a little bit of it, but I think that's the thing, that this show is kind of sold as Jay Farrell's show. Like, mm-hmm. come watch Jay Farrell and his TV show. And it's like, our exposure to Jay Farrell is that mm-hmm. SNL impersonations. That's all I have. So unless I'm in love with him and his stand-up, like, I have no exposure to who he is.
Yeah, right? Which is why a lot of these shows do work that are about celebrities playing themselves, is because we already have an established opinion.
Exactly.
We love them. We hate them. We love to hate them. And it's endearing kind of watching them continue to mess up their lives. Mm-hmm. But with Jay Farrell, he's in a way newish to the game, so I'm still confused. Like, did they even call him Jay on the show? I'm trying to think that.
No, that
no.
wasn't his character's name.
Floyd Mooney.
Right, so it wasn't him, but mm-hmm. it was exactly him. So I just wish there was more of a differentiation,
yeah.
you know?
I think that's the new component of it, though, is that with these type of shows, it's usually stars we know, like Matt LeBlanc in episodes. Mm-hmm. It's like post-Friends and then Curb Your Enthusiasm. But with him, it's a thing where... He is, even in his character, is on the cusp of success.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? Like, he's dealing with the pressures of making that next step and what that looks like. And so that's what I liked about it. It was mm-hmm. like, okay, there's a different angle to something we've seen before, but the delivery of it is what was in question for me.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead. This is the part of the show where we talk about kind of the development of the show. We're still trying to kind of avoid spoilers, but just so you guys know, the more you listen, the more you'll hear about the show. So you've heard our initial opinions. And now we're going to get into some of the juice. This is an original show, again, starring Jay Farrow, playing, it seems like we kind of agree, somewhat of a fictionalized version of himself. Mm-hmm. What I will say, though, is I know Jamie Foxx had a lot to do with the development of this show. And I think on paper, it actually is that it's more of the beginning of Jamie Foxx's career.
Correct.
But similarly, he also is a stand-up comic and a comedy guy, so there's going to be parallels between him and Jay.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The show, as Linda mentioned, was created by Tom Campanos, who also created Californication, mm-hmm. admittedly a show I have not watched. But
oh, Jeff, are you kidding me?
Is it up my alley?
It is one of the best shows of all time, yeah. I swear.
It's about a writer, yeah. isn't it?
Yeah, it's about a writer, and he's, oh God, David Duchovny. You just got to watch
it. I'll check
yeah.
it out. But thankfully, the show was also co-created by two other creators, who are Chris Spencer and Buddy Lewis. The reason I say thankfully is because they're both African-American.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I feel like it would have been a bit uncomfortable if this show just had sole creator credit from a white guy. Yeah. I don't know
yeah,
if that's fair.
We've seen that show. Yeah, like that Mayor. Before, right? yeah.
Check out our first episode yeah. of the show, which
we,
is the
we shitted on that show.
Yeah,
sorry,
we did a little bit. But we have a creative team of three, and Chris Spencer and Buddy Lewis were both African-American stand-up comics. So I think that was a wise choice on the part of the production team. I'm going to go over the cast really quickly. Our lead character is a guy named Floyd Mooney, who's played by Jay Farrow. For those who haven't seen the show, he's really the character who anchors the show. It's his show. It's his journey. Basically, as an aspiring A-lister who's kind of on the B-list right now as a famous stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. His buddy, his roommate, is played by Utkarsh Ad. This is why I need to read this before we go on there. Every week.
Utkarsh is actually his agent.
Oh, that's his agent. Malcolm. Mm-hmm. I like this performance a lot, and we're going to talk about it. Also, his girlfriend / baby mama, that's from the show. No, I'm not just saying is Cleopatra Coleman playing Sadie. And then that must be his roommate is Ron. Is that correct? Okay, great. Then Jacob Ming Trent is his roommate, Ron. The rest of the characters, I'd say, are kind of minor, but the four of those really at least anchor the
and
pilot.
And Jamie,
of course.
He's Jim.
That's the son, right?
Jamie Foxx.
Oh, and of course, Jamie Foxx is in it as well. Yeah. And there is, I will shout out Lonnie Chavis.
Yeah, this is us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is us. That's his son.
Yes. Yeah. So he's playing the son of our lead character, Floyd. And this is the point in the show where we kind of get into the dirty details, guys. So this is, I'd say, spoiler territory. If you don't want to know about the show, tune out now. Let's start by talking about the characters. Let's start by talking about Floyd, played by Jay Farrow. What do you guys think?
Not a likable character to me, and that is my problem. Like, there are tons of, which we'll get into with Smilf, you know, a very flawed character, but you still like something about them. This character, it wasn't enough for me that he still wanted to sleep with his ex / you know, mother of his child. You know, he wanted some. Okay, he has a nice relationship with his kid. Sure, the kid rolls his eyes at him all the time, like he's better than him because he knows that he's smarter or just like a better human being.
Yeah.
I wasn't rooting for the guy, and that's my issue with him.
And he seemed a little bitter, like for someone who's on the come up. Like, you should be happy if you are actually, you know, you've done the grind, you've been on tour, you just got back to LA, and people are throwing roles at you. Why are you so angry? Like, there was no backstory for me, at least in the pilot, to understand, like, what are you bitter about? Are you bitter about your relationships? Are you bitter about your career? Like, I'm not quite sure, and that didn't translate to me at all.
I think it was interesting. I think he was completely relatable to me.
Good. Okay.
I mean, and that just comes as I think there's an aspect of it as the African American male thing that I can really relate to from the standpoint of one of my favorite comedians is Dave Chappelle, and he's always talked about the aspect of having to sell out to get to that next step of famousness. The idea they played with dressing up as a woman, and you can see that as a consistent thing among female. Among male comedians in TV show. Like, so that him wanted to hang on to not doing that and him having to sell out in that extent and deal with, like, just the microaggressions or racism, depending on how you want to define it, from white executives who, like, represent Hollywood, I think that was really relatable. And just his desire to want to maintain his own identity as an African-American male through all of that was really relatable to me. So that's probably why I was rooting for him during the show.
Cool. I loved that stuff. That was the stuff I wanted to see more of. How did you feel about the actual, like, character, though? Because that's what's interesting is, like, it's so funny. I love Jay Farrow. Like, I honestly think he was underused on SNL. I think, like, he's probably one of the most talented improvisers to come through that show. Impressionists.
Absolutely.
He can imitate literally anyone.
Yeah.
I almost don't feel like this is the best use for him.
Well, the first thing I think is, oh God, maybe the reason why they didn't use him as much is because he's like this in real life. Like, is this Jay Farrow?
Yeah.
Because he does not seem fun to work with. And
well, here's what I'll say. I have heard that the reason Jay Farrow is not, his contract was not renewed, was because the producers asked him to play in drag on a sketch and wear a dress, and he wouldn't do it.
I mean, hello, Tootsie, Dustin Hoffman.
What's interesting about that, though, is if that story's true, I love that the show kind of
incorporates it.
What a really interesting dig.
That would be great.
And D'Angelo, I actually really like the point you bring up of there is kind of this, for lack of a better word, minstrelization of African-American performance, especially in comedy. You think of Madea. I mean, granted, Tyler Perry.
You can go on.
But the list
Jamie
is
Foxx,
long.
A bunch. Eddie Murphy, all of them. Chris Tucker. On and on and on.
What's weird for me, and I know we're getting a bit into, like, the thematic stuff, but that's central to this show, is if you're going to kind of advocate and stand up for that community, why be so misogynistic? Like, I don't know if you guys felt that, but, like, I hate that it's, like, we don't want to degrade this community and minstrelize them or whatever. I don't know if that's the right word or not. But then, just, I found the portrayal of women in the show, besides his
Babies, mama.
Besides Baby Mama, very problematic.
But and I agreed.
She even was problematic mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah.
And so that's probably why I had a hard time connecting with this show is because I really do gravitate towards shows that have a female lead or a big female presence. Mm. And it's actually pretty difficult for me to watch shows that don't have that. And because that's just what I like. And yeah, it bothered me. I mean, they're present in the story. They're important, kind of, but they're just not portrayed in. And it's not even like what they do. It's the way that men view them. Mm-hmm. And it's like that opinion is kind of what is broadcasted, which bothers me.
Yeah. And yeah. The show is so distinctly from like an African-American gaze, which is really great. But it's also so distinctly from sort of this male gaze that I kind of found to be a bummer. And I kept having the thought, how much more interesting would this show be if it were about an African-American female? If this show were starring Tiffany Haddish and were to be about what it's like to be a black woman in the community, in the comedy community, I think I would have been so much more interested in the show.
Yeah.
I just feel like, and I agree with you, and I said it earlier, if they would have just utilized his talents more, I think that he would shine. And maybe that's going to come across in future episodes.
Yeah.
But in this episode, it really didn't.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's unfortunate because I think he has so much talent, so much to offer. And if the storyline is him on the come up, then he should just, like, let loose, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and talk about some of the other characters in the show. We've talked about Floyd. Mm-hmm. I think we like the idea of this character, at least I do, but I'm not sure I actually like this character in its manifestation on the show.
Because it's essentially, like, the clown, like, the jester.
Not that so much. I just, like, I'm kind of with you, Sam. It's something intangible that I'm having trouble grabbing onto. I will say, I don't know about the choice to be making Cosby jokes in the very first scene we meet him. Yeah. I don't know what you guys thought about that.
I think they touched on that, though, in the joke. He was like, how dare you be offended by this when you're in comedy? And, like, I thought that was a pretty profound statement.
Yeah.
Not to say that it was okay, but no, I think it's pretty, like, a very, like, they knew what they were doing with that.
Yeah.
I thought
they
it was clever.
Know.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why? It's an interesting choice to have your protagonist make rape jokes in the first 5 minutes.
Well, it's funny now that you mention it, because that wasn't one of the things that I thought to talk about. Yeah. I almost forgot about it. But it was in my head, I'm thinking about it, after that joke that I was like, oh. And I'm like reimagining it in my brain, and it was like subliminally, I think I just chose to, I'm like, black that out of my memory, because it wasn't funny, and like, I don't want to hate this show. Mm. But yeah, I do think it bothered me now.
Yeah. It's just a bold choice. And, like, that whole thesis statement of, like, I'm a comic, I can say whatever I want, and there's no responsibility, is an interesting point of view, and to me, a little irresponsible. Mm. I don't know, though. I just, like, to me, that was a big strike on his character very quickly. Mm. I don't know if you guys felt that, too, but...
I didn't feel it specifically with that joke, but I thought that... Like you said, so there's the rape joke, and then in the first 5 minutes, there's the naked lady, and then with Jamie Foxx, there's another naked lady that are all, like, nameless, not main characters, but just thrown in there. So you're like, you draw the line with, oh, I don't want to dress up in a woman's outfit, right, because you're going to sell out, but then at the same time, you're objectifying all these women in the pilot in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question for you guys then. So... Okay, so I want to get my words together. Yeah. So I agree that there is a very important to have shows that represent different type of people and genders and experiences. But this show is very obviously explicitly from a African-American male's perspective. Mm-hmm. With that understanding, that those two girls represent a groupie culture, which is like a reality. Like, if we're definitely accepting, because we've had other shows where we're accepting the perspective of it. Yeah. If we're accepting the perspective of this show as an African-American male's perspective, are you still offended with the idea that there are groupies that they interact with on the regularly?
So,
no.
What that makes you think of, sorry, is that, I mean, the creator of Californication, you know, have you seen that show?
No.
You've watched the show. And I mean, they objectify women, and it's one of my favorite shows, and it's a little messed up, because that show really, really objectifies women. However, the protagonist of the show is, we get to know him almost first, and see, like, his heart. And then we see him do all this stuff, and we might see it right off the bat, but right away it's proven to us that, like, this is a really interesting character that has just lost his way, but is a good guy deep down, but he just can't help himself.
Mm. And he also has the ex-wife.
Yes.
Which is a strong character on that show to kind of balance out his whole misogynistic behaviors. Mm. But I to jump off of what you're saying, that is true, that's true, or keeping true to the culture where there are groupies like that in comedy and in black comedy specifically. So if that's what they were going for, I feel like they should have laid the foundation out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not just throwing them in for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, show, like, hey, I just did a show, which he did in the opening, right? But show that you met this girl and she was a groupie and she's throwing herself at you, and that's how she ended up in your bed. Like, lead me there.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like there felt like there was no agency with these women. Mm-hmm. Like, if the woman would have been like, you know, this is a one night thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just a groupie, or like, I'm going to go sleep with another comic now. I would have just felt like some kind of efficacy on the part of the women that were in this show, rather than just like literally silent nude slam pieces.
Yeah.
Which is like the first two girls we saw. And I can't help but feel like, in light of everything that's broken in the last month about Hollywood, it made me feel extra skeeved out.
Mm.
And I was like, I wonder how this production team is feeling after all these conversations, and it's airing right now. And I also just feel like did you guys watch Entourage?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you gone back and watched Entourage?
Yeah.
I have not.
A couple times.
Does it feel kind of different now, in like light of everything that's
kind of
come out?
Yeah, I mean, Ari Gold would have been like arrested, probably.
Right. He would have been outed. Ari would have been on the long list of offenders that are coming out.
Yeah.
So I think, just especially with that timing, I felt two things. One, if I want to see this show, I can watch Entourage. And that's why, like, the stuff you were talking about, Dee, of, like, the exploration of racial microaggressions in the industry, I wanted 50% more of that and 50% less of the Entourage sex with women partying bullshit.
Yeah.
And if we get more of that later down the road, I might be a play. But this pilot, just the ratio for me of what made the show interesting versus what made the show something I've seen was all off, was all wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about, I guess, some of these other performances. I will say, I really like Cleopatra Coleman as Sadie, his ex.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were never married, right? His baby mom, let's just say. I really found her charming. What really did you guys think of her performance?
Yeah,
I thought her performance was good. I didn't really think the writing was great for her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair.
Because, I mean, it was just, I'm this strong woman, now all of a sudden, like, we're going to start hooking up. And then, oh, your black car is here to, you know, go to the show. I'm just like, I thought she was adorable and very, very charming. But I didn't, that was something that's like, a man wrote this for her. You know, this isn't, I don't think, what a woman in her situation would be doing or acting.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, you know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of in Atlanta, the Childish Gambino's counterpart,
for sure.
And I think the difference between
Vanessa
the shows,
Van,
yeah, when we were when we were big fans of her,
yes,
they almost have a similar role, but how it was introduced in Atlanta is very different from how it was introduced in White Famous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping, I love her character too, probably maybe one of my more favorite ones. I'm hoping we see more character development with her and consistency, because right now she's just kind of an inconsistent, sometimes you can have it, sometimes you can't.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm supporting you. Like you said, very much from a male's perspective.
Yeah.
So I think there's potential there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I will say the performance of his son, I think, is pretty charming.
Yeah, it was cute. That was really cute.
How do we feel about the writing overall? Sam, you briefly alluded to it.
I just could kind of tell it was, you know, written by a bunch of males, and there's not a lot of females that have speaking parts or many lines at all. But, you know, I think it was very, like, think about it this way. If it was, these guys wrote this right now, after all the scandals that are happening, continuing to happen in Hollywood, they would have written this very differently.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You know, I think a year ago, whenever they wrote this, you know, it's still funny that people are this way, but things are changing very quickly right now. So unfortunately, I kind of think it just came out at the wrong time.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I will say, this is going to be sort of hard for me to quantify, so I'm going to do my best, but I almost felt like at times this felt a bit like a black show that was written through the lens of a white guy versus Atlanta, which is so clearly a black show written through the lens of a black guy.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys can speak to anything that I'm pointing at, but there were some kind of familiar beats where I was like, okay, this feels like an Entourage. This feels like... it just had some of the conventions of these kinds of shows that I'm used to. Whereas something about Atlanta just felt a little more revolutionary or something. And I think I would have wanted some of that freshness ingested into this show from a format perspective. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, the title of the show in itself almost like jokes about, I feel like the title White Famous is already making a joke out of what the show is essentially.
Yeah, I would have loved, I wish the show, what's so interesting is like, I can't tell if the show is just observing or criticizing the idea that to transcend race, black performers have to enter the machine of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But in a way, this show kind of feels like it was bred by the machine of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer. Like, just the way, the format, in terms of like the act structure and the way the beats played out. It didn't, I wish it would have been more of a fresh and less conventional approach to a single cam sitcom. Because I feel like that's what the show's criticizing.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I think there was a very familiar formula with the show that I agree with. I can see. And Atlanta had its own tune. And it was like, after the first two episodes, you were like, what am I watching?
Exactly.
I didn't feel that way. I felt like this felt very familiar with this formula. So hopefully they grow in it. Because I do think they're trying to be unconventional. I wanted to touch on your point. Because this is something we've talked about with other shows, is that just the diversity in the shows. And I think this is something that is often lost, especially in an African-American dominated show, is getting females in the writer room. And because it makes it more relatable to more than just African-American males specifically. So I think there, if there was an overall critique for the show, it'd be like more diverse writers and thoughts outside of just gender and race. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not just because it's all African American does not make it diverse.
Yeah.
That's not diverse.
Yeah.
So I think there's an opportunity there to grow in that area. Sorry, I just wanted to add that.
No, it's
great,
a really good point. It actually leads us, we always talk about like the themes of these shows. And so I'm glad you brought that up. And as a transition, I loved sort of how black this show was. Yeah. Like, anytime I can watch TV that's just not about white dudes, I'm so happy because there's so much of that. I mean, and again, I just wish we would have had more of that. And like, I'm glad to hear, did you feel like, D'Angelo, as an African-American man, that's, you were responding to that stuff and it did play true?
Well, no, I don't even want to give myself credit. I love the show, mostly, because I felt so relatable to it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I can understand the idea of when, if you're a white male and you're the majority and you're watching, consuming so many shows that, you know, you get, because it's just like you're kind of the target market. Like, challenging that initial thought. Because I would say I didn't challenge that initial thought until I heard y'all's opinions just now. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. It could have been more females here, and this woman was kind of degraded in this area. So I think that's the area that I want people as consumers to grow in, because that's something that I have to grow in, too, because I'm just like, when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, you know, I can really relate to this. But that second thought of getting these other opinions is kind of the area of growth that we need as viewers and also that they need as creators.
But I do want to applaud the show. Just, I mean, even though I feel like it's struggling in the female aspect, I do want to applaud the show for head-on addressing these issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
That stuff was very interesting to me.
Yeah, very different from The Mayor.
Yeah.
Just want to say.
Yeah. So, you know, ABC versus Showtime.
Yeah, boom.
Right.
Yeah.
Enough said.
One thing I will say, I cheated. I watched, I think it was either episode 3 or episode 4 today. And I was pretty into it. I was like, okay, I like this show. It's interesting. And then, like, the last scene, there was this line where something happens to the protagonist, I won't say, but his agent is like, you know, man, when it rains, it pours. It rains all this jizz, and you become a cum-guzzling slut eating all this jizz. And I was just like, damn it.
You lost me.
I was like, I've got to turn this off. Like, I was just like, the show is doing so well.
That's so believable.
And they just had to plug in this, like, incredibly misogynistic monologue.
Yeah.
And I had to turn it off. I was like, I don't, especially right now in Hollywood, I don't want to be complicit in all of this shit that's being said about women. Mm. Sorry, that's my soapbox.
No, that's real. That's
so, Renee Ha in the chat said, watched all 5 episodes. The women roles pick up in episode 2 to 5, cool. And the show is super funny. Episode 4 is the funniest, in my opinion.
Great.
Okay. That's great.
Thank you, Renee. Yeah. Yes. And that also, if I feel like I'm coming down on this show hard, I probably am. And I want you guys to debate me in the comments. Like, what's fun about this show is it is an opinion-based... What's fun about our after show is it is an opinion-based show.
Yeah.
So let us know in the comments. If you completely disagree, please tell us. And if D'Angelo, I hope you keep watching it, because if you find you like it, I could see myself loving this show.
I might probably watch a couple more in the background while I'm doing laundry or something, because I want to be in the know.
Yeah. You want to be woke. Gotta be woke.
It feels like an easy binge. Like, it does feel like a turn your mind off, turn the TV.
I agree.
And I love that kind of stuff, but...
Yeah. The episodes do go very quickly. Yes. Like, I was like, oh, wait, it's over?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What
yeah.
about Smilf, though?
We got to talk about Smilf.
Like,
we
only have 12 minutes.
Any last thoughts quickly on White Famous before we move on?
I just think that we should all keep Californication in the back of our
minds. Yes, and I think you two need to watch that.
Because some of the guests on the show are from that show.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Great. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Well, let's talk about Smilf. Smilf is a show that aired on Sunday, also on Showtime. It is starring Frankie Shaw, who's playing the lead character of Bridget, who is kind of a down-on-her-luck single mom trying to figure out life. Guys, what did we think of the pilot? Linda, let's start with you now.
I wasn't really super sold on the pilot. I thought that... So first of all, I read about the pilot before I watched it, which is probably not a good thing, but knowing that she created and directed and she has a short film, I thought, okay, this is going to be fantastic. But then I just felt like the shock value in the first 5 minutes, her having sex and the whole nine yards, I was like, where are we going with this? Like, I get it's the struggle of the single mom and she's trying to make it as an actress and she's trying to live in Boston and all of that, but where are we going with this in the first 5 minutes? That's
how
I thought.
So you're a pass?
I'm a tentative pass.
Tentative pass.
We gotta knock this tentative out. Y'all use it way too much.
Because women, we can't make decisions.
I mean, I can, but here's what I want to say. I don't want to say pass because I think that I might watch it for the second episode just to see where she goes with this.
Exactly. So I'm not a fan of Lena Dunham. I'm just going to say that. I'm not, and I hated, like, that Girls was a representation of my exact year I graduated high school, you know? Like, it was just to a T, and I was like, that's not me. And I didn't like what you did with it from the start. I watched most of it until the last season, but this show...
I'm talking about Girls. Got it.
But this show gave me a lot of Girls vibes, but in a way that I would have wanted Girls to be a little bit more like. The thing is I didn't realize that she wrote, directed, you know, did all of that, and she used herself well. Lena Dunham would, you know, the only scene that I don't think is we didn't need to see her boobs in the bathtub. That I was just like,
agree.
Yeah, that was too much. Other than that though, I really understood her actions and irrational motivations, and I enjoyed it, and I think she's going to be entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was rooting for her. I liked her. I probably liked her more than Jay Farrell's character, which says a lot. So I think they did a good job of building her, even for people who may not be able to relate to her. Even though I can because my mom was a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree 100%. I did not need to see her. I just feel like Showtime just feels the need to show nudity at all times because they
can.
Yeah, I'm just like, bruh, she's in a bathtub with her kid. Like, why?
Yeah.
So, but that's honestly my only critique. I actually really enjoyed the show.
Yeah, I also really liked it. And I feel like a lot of the things that frustrated me about White Famous, this show got very, very right. So I think that's why it almost felt like a reprieve from some of the frustrations I was feeling about the other show. I'm glad you mentioned Lena Dunham, because I do think this show kind of owes a lot to what Girls did on TV. And it's funny, because I actually like Lena Dunham and I like Girls, but I
just want to say, though, I appreciate Lena Dunham and I appreciate Girls
yeah.
for what they've done for writers mm-hmm. and, you know, performers, producers as women in the industry. Mm. I just don't love
That's
her.
Fair. I mean...
And can I just jump in on that? Just because I'm the sole one that's kind of a pass... I never watched Girls, and the reason I never watched Girls because as a black female, it was not relatable.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
and I feel like with this, just how we talked about diversity on White Famous, this should have some diversity as well. You can't say one show should and one show shouldn't, or we don't mention it, but there's no diversity in this cast at all.
That's real.
So who's your target audience? Because I'm a female, and I, too, can relate to, like, single mom and the struggle. But I also know that I have a diverse friendship and a diverse family. So
Well, I mean...
That was part of my problem with
her baby daddy, right? Was
I think Hispanic. That was the one little nugget they tried to throw in there.
And the boy, okay. You know, the boy, the son, he's did. Not, you know.
They try. What about her friends and anybody else?
And all the dudes playing basketball she was into.
Yeah, for great. Whatever, ready to roll in the stereotype.
True.
That all of her true. Sports friends.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't one of them a rapper,
yes,
too?
Yeah. So,
but that's a definitely, really good point.
Yeah.
I'm the white guy who's like, I loved it.
No, I think that's good, though, because this is another argument. It's like, when you do diversity, it's not just throwing it in there. You have to be strategic about how you do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why am I introducing them? And if you just kind of sloppily do it, oh, a bunch of black guys at the basketball court. That's not diversity.
Right, either. Thank you.
You got to, it's hard because we're in such an interesting time with America, but like, you got to be strategic about how you do it.
Yeah, I think this won't be a show for everyone. Like, I was watching this thinking, like, this is a play for me. It will not be a play for many, many people.
Yeah.
And I can acknowledge, I love this, like, kind of aimless mumblecore, sort of Duplass Brothers, sort of, you know, like, single shaky cam, true-to-life, slice-of-life stuff, which a lot of people don't like. And I can totally understand the arguments as to why they don't. But if you're a fan of, like, these kind of flailing young women trying to make their way kinds of shows, you're gonna love this show.
Also, Anna Faris. If you like Anna Faris, this woman is literally, what's her name again?
Bridget.
Well, no, the actress to me in general.
Frankie Shaw.
She is, reminds me so much of Anna Faris. It's distracting. Mm. Did no one else like pick up? Because I was like, Anna Faris, she talks like her,
but really
just like.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's all I could think about.
Can I
so
throw
funny.
In one other thing?
Yes.
If you're a fan of that genre, then I also want to just point out, because Shameless led into this.
Yes.
And Shameless, I think, does it very well, where you have that protagonist girl who's trying to figure it out, living in Boston, but they have diversity in the cast. They have they pull in their audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's because they've had so many more seasons, but if they want to mimic a show or a formula, I would go that direction for sure.
Also, last thing to add, Jeff, this is the second time in a week I've seen a small penis.
I know.
On TV.
I was thinking the same
thing. You're going to stop with this, all right, bro? I'm blaming this on you.
I keep pushing all these shows with penises in them.
I just want to say something. Like, it's not the first time I've seen a small penis in that long. I'm like, guys, what's happening to penises these days? It's like on
it's
TV.
Just out everywhere.
It's
what's
everywhere.
Going on,
it's like, what? Like, must be something in the water. I have no idea.
Maybe I'm dated, but I'll pass. I'm good. Let's
say something.
I need
though,
a warning.
I want to say I liked that they used someone who wasn't necessarily a conventionally attractive man, and he wasn't a joke.
Yep.
You know what?
The guy at the convenience store.
Yeah,
he was.
What was your take? Is from
was
a female?
Definitely a joke.
You thought?
Yeah.
She did not treat him like some.
She was really.
I was visiting my mom and I was in her bath. I watch TV in the bathtub, which is very stupid. I like prop my laptop up. It's very dumb, but I do it. I love it. And I'm watching this happen and I was like, I was like so embarrassed. Mm. And I was so worried about the kid too the entire time. It's like, and then
that was so creepy. Sorry to cut you off. It was creepy.
Oh, yeah. It was creepy, but I was also laughing and cringing.
Spoiler territory, guys.
Sorry, guys.
No, we're fine. This is good.
It's a laugh cringe. Yeah.
I agree with you, though, Jeff. I felt like he wasn't a joke, because when they were in the convenience store, he was like, oh, my, genuinely, like, you look great, fantastic to see you. He paid for her stuff, and then, you know, she did her little booty call, and he came over, and he actually did the right thing. Like, he wasn't conventionally, like, the sexy guy, but he was, like, a real dude, and he treated her with respect, even when she wasn't respecting herself in that situation.
I thought he just represented her level of desperation in that moment, personally. That's why I was like, he's a joke, because it's kind of like...
Yeah. Right. You pick any guy.
In that moment. It was like, oh, I saw him in a convenience store. Hey, come over. Like, that's why I was like, oh, he's obviously a joke. It was admirable what he did, but, you know.
Well, I also think he was grossed out almost in a way, because then she started talking about her big vagina. And, like, when I watched it, I thought, oh, well, maybe, you know, he's kind of a jerk. Like, he just...
Interesting. Mm. That's must be your perspective, which is great, and I'm glad you brought up that point, because I actually didn't see that. Like, what I saw was he was grossed out by the fact that there was the kid in the bed with them. And I think this is a very complicated show, and like I feel like this conversation reveals that. I think whereas to me White Famous kind of was trying to check the boxes of here's how you should see this scene and here's how you should see this scene, this was like a turn on the camera, point the camera, and try to present life and it's all its complications.
That's good.
And I'm always so in for those shows.
I always think too, how do they write those? Like, I would love to read the pilot for that, because it just the writing, it has so much to do with the shooting and producing, yeah, directing, all right, of it. Because, like, the script must just, I can't imagine what that looks like.
Yeah. Well, this is her show. You
and
know
she
what
did
I mean?
It all. She yeah wrote it, directed it. I wonder what her short film is like. Maybe we should look that up.
I know. Yeah, would love to.
I just, like, quickly to go back to the thing with Bodies, like, I feel like whereas Bodies and White Famous were objects, mm-hmm, in this, I feel like Bodies were just bodies. And, like, you guys mentioned, we didn't need to see her boobs in the bathtub. But I liked that we just saw her body, and it wasn't, yeah, in a sexual way. It's just, if she was in a bathtub, that's what you would see if you, yeah, were in the room.
That's good.
So I really, really appreciated that about the show, especially right now, and especially after having seen White Famous,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. You liked the boobs in the bathtub. We didn't like the boobs in the bathtub, but you did.
I loved it. Give us more of that. No, I'm just joking.
No, I understood it, though. I was annoyed by it. Then I also was annoyed at myself for being annoyed by it, because yeah, it is real.
That's yeah real.
We only have a couple minutes, and I wish I would have given us more time to talk about this show, but, so Linda, besides sort of the diversity issues of the show, which I think are valid, mm-hmm, anything else that's kind of not rubbing you the right way about this show? Because I'm curious, because I think you have a very different perspective on the show than I do.
I think that was the main thing.
For
like,
sure.
It wasn't relatable to me. Like, the situations were relatable, and I, like I said earlier, I really do think Shameless is that same type of mm-hmm of genre, and I love that show, and I feel like that show is much more relatable, so I'm curious to know where she's going to go with it, mm-hmm, and I hope that it's more than just what the pilot was.
For sure.
I'll leave it at that, I guess.
I just hope she doesn't do what Lena Dunham did, which was, you know, make the show all about her in places where it didn't need to be, in places where other storylines would have been more interesting. And, you know, it almost seemed like she just wanted to make us hate all the characters and just put herself in when it wasn't needed or
in
appropriate.
Girls,
in Girls. So I'm just saying, I hope that doesn't reflect onto this show. And I think by, you know, the pilot, we have a pretty good start. I like this girl, and I'm interested to watch her grow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We didn't even mention Rosie O'Donnell, which is a huge thing.
Crap.
And I think that maybe that complex relationship she's having with her mom, because at first it's all Rosie, but then you start to see the cracks. I think that is going to be interesting as it develops. And I think Rosie O'Donnell did a fantastic job as her character.
See, that was one of my biggest qualms about it, was I thought that was miscast and just placing a name, and I do not see... I didn't see Rosie O'Donnell as her mother at all, and then they'd have Rosie O'Donnell acting crazy, and I'm like, well, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. What did you think of her? Did you recognize her, first of all? I didn't even recognize her.
I did not know that was Rosie O'Donnell.
I know.
I just said it. But I actually liked the mom.
Yeah.
And I have prior... The funny thing is, I have prior experiences with Rosie O'Donnell, so, like, and I know her storyline, so... Now that I know that, I thought it was pretty cool, because I thought she really felt like a mom to me.
Right.
Like, how she closed the door and was like, that crazy kid. Like, I thought that was good.
What? I could see him across the street.
Yeah, I know.
That was good.
That was awesome.
I liked it.
I also just want to give a shout out to our fellow AfterBuzzer, Kim Crossman.
Yes.
Kimberly Crossman. So she is going to be in both White Famous. I'm not sure if it's just one episode, but she's a recurring character on Smilf.
Got two jobs.
She's the best. Kim is lovely.
We're shout so happy out to that. That's
Kim.
What's up, yo.
For those who are listening who are kind of wondering whether they should jump on board of a show like this, here's what I'll say. If you like shows with a lot of plot and a lot of stakes, this might not really be the show for you. But if you like shows that are really like a character study or a look into a world that might not be a world you're familiar with, I would recommend this show.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I think it's doing a lot with direction and music. I thought the music in this pilot was really well selected.
Yeah.
And even color palette, I just think this is a very cohesive show that's very much its own thing, and it's not going to be for everyone.
Yeah.
But I am definitely a play, and I'm excited to see what she's going to do.
Showtime definitely has a vision, because both of them are kind of in the same lane. So
yeah.
Yeah,
both shows are kind of giving us a look at a world that's not usually on TV, which I really appreciate, and kind of giving us underdog characters that I think we're supposed to root for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm rooting much more for this Smilf than I am for the other
character.
From
Bridget. Bridget.
But any last thoughts about Smilf? I know we kind of had to rush this conversation, but... How about the last scene? That audition. What did you guys think of that?
That's when I liked her.
Funny.
Yeah.
Super funny. I want to see all of that. her be so real and terrify people and be like, okay, me and my baby are just going to be, bye.
I thought it was really real. And then we learned a little bit more about her that she, you know, has sexual assault in her background. And but she's trying to use it to propel her career forward. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well, that was my thought was, do we think her baby is the product of a consensual act?
Well, I think so.
Yeah, because we saw her father. I hope we saw her father. Yeah, right. I mean, we don't know, but...
Oh, you mean her baby?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because we saw his father, and she is into him. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that, but I don't know. I don't think so.
It could be a twist.
It would be really interesting. I would love for that show to throw that complication in there. I mean, I don't want to say I want to glorify that, but I just think it's a very complicated show.
And she has a complicated life on it, so that could be a twist.
And it is sad. There's a part of it that's very sad. She's a 20-something-year-old woman having to do this, and I just turned 30, and I couldn't even imagine. So it's fascinating. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I will say it's a lot of pressure to cast yourself as an actress on a show, and I think she's acting really well.
I think she's great.
Okay, cool. Any last thoughts about Smilf, guys, before we move on? Well, again, please let us know in the comments what you think for both of these shows. I think they're both at least trying to do something different. So I'd like to see what you guys think about it. In the meantime, guys, my name is Jeff Graham. If you want to find me online, you can do so at Jeffrey C. Graham. Quickly, I host a show on Fridays called The Unproduced Table Read, where we table read scripts. So tune in. That's on the Popcorn Talk Network, which is our sister network. How about the rest of y'all?
Linda Antwi, Linda So Girly, all online. Let's continue the conversation.
Yes.
I'm so happy to be back. You guys can find me at... Yeah, I'm honestly, it's like 3 in the morning my time or 2. I can't even count. You guys can find me at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram at SamD43, and I'll see you next week.
And you guys can hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV or on Instagram at D'Angelo. Also, check me out on our sports show that we review on Tuesday at 7 p.m.
Yes, and next week we are covering... I can't remember. I set it out.
We'll figure it out. It'll be a surprise.
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter and you can find out. Yes. We'll see you next week at 10 p.m. on Wednesday, guys. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.